Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hi, welcome to How's New York with real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're going to be looking at a market report for Brooklyn, and we're joined by Empire State Realty's Deborah Iema. Stay tuned for Bob.
His end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. Been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn. The folks you meet on like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome again to How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're going to be doing a market report episode, and our special guest is Deborah Iema, who's the owner of Empire State Realty Group. Stay tuned for Bob.
Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome, everybody, to How's New York. I am not Robert Howe. I am his producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Group. Bob is going to be joining us shortly, but we're going to get the show started. And as you know, as always, we are talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and a lot of hot topics of the day that we like to discuss. And of course, we're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to potential audience stretching from Long Ear Buyer, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I should be joined by Bob momentarily, but let's start things off. Tonight, we're going to be doing a market report episode with our special guest, Deborah Iema from Empire State Realty Group. Deborah is going to tell us a little bit about herself, and then we're going to get into her market report for Brooklyn real estate. Deborah, how are you doing? Thanks for being on the show with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure. Thanks again. It's great to be on the show with you, and I'm excited about discussing what's going on in Brooklyn. There's so much happening here in Brooklyn. I've been involved in real estate since 1992. I've seen the real estate profession transform. It has become a global type of business now. We are so diversified in the buyers that we have for our properties, and this is spanning all over Brooklyn. We have a particular influx of new immigrant buyers in Sunset Park. The economy in Sunset Park has just flourished. At one point, you couldn't rent a store along the 8th Avenue corridor, but now the property is basically just skyrocketing in price. There's such a high demand. Properties have been purchased by multinationals. We've got people coming from basically Manhattan that are looking for more affordable areas, which drove the demand so high that now Sunset is just booming in its prices. So if you own property now in Sunset Park, you basically own gold. So we're looking down the line at further development.
Well, that aligns a lot with what we've been talking about recently on a lot of our recap shows, where we recap a lot of the top news stories in Brooklyn real estate, and we have spoken about some of the things that you're touching on here. But let me back you up a little bit before we get too deep into your market report, because it sounds like you have done your homework, and I want to get a little bit about your background, your start in real estate, and tell us a little bit about Empire State Realty Group.
Okay, well, Empire State Realty Group was actually begun by my husband, Aldo. He started this company back in 1989. I joined him in 92. After we got married. I had been in science and research for a while, and then I got my feet wet in business a little bit, and I enjoyed it. I loved it. And fast forward that to now, I'm a broker with him, an associate broker. I'm also a broker owner of Empire State Realty Services, which is Staten Island-based. The office is actually in Brooklyn, but we have our tentacles out there in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Manhattan, through our REBNY membership also. We basically focus on the residential and mixed-use properties. We have delved into some commercial, but we don't specialize in it. But that is that does happen to be a booming industry now in real estate. So we are, just to let you know, we happen to be past presidents of the Bay Ridge Real Estate Board, and we were so fortunate to have Mr. Howe as one of our speakers. We so enjoyed his report on Bay Ridge. That's one of the strongholds of Brooklyn. We enjoyed that, and we are continuing to feature different aspects of the Brooklyn community with each of our meetings. So we're focused on involvement in the community as well as in real estate, and basically that's the long and short of it right now.
Well, if you wanted to have somebody who has their pulse on Bay Ridge, talk at any type of function that deals with Bay Ridge and even Brooklyn as a whole. Robert Howe is one of the best people you can get for that.
Exactly. Yes, I agree.
So one of the things we've seen recurring in a lot of our recaps episodes is this story that you kind of hinted at a little bit, that Brooklyn is a global brand,
yes,
from everything from consumer products and, of course, to real estate. You know, people want to own in Brooklyn, live in Brooklyn, own property in Brooklyn. It just seems to be like it is the, yes, and if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the number one most desired location outside,
yes,
of the U.S. to buy property. Are you finding that in a lot of your new clients?
Absolutely. We have such an influx of Asian buyers, and it's not just limited to Asian buyers, but, of course, there are buyers from all over the world. You've got South Americans coming here also. You've got buyers from other nations which know that their investment here will be the strongest anywhere. The type of investment you have here is, once you purchase it, it's yours. That doesn't exist everywhere. There are some countries where your purchasing power can go just so far. Your ability to claim your property will end, say, in about 99 years when the government has to reissue you the right to own. And usually it does happen, but the fact that here, when you purchase, it's yours, is something that's very enticing to the foreign buyer. Once they have it, it's theirs, and they can maintain that in their family for generations to come without any strings attached. The New York market is so hot, Manhattan especially, it's top of the list. But if you're looking to invest and you don't want to pay Manhattan prices, you will find phenomenal deals in Brooklyn, which of course are still very high priced. For instance, with the transformation that's going on in Sunset Park, there's a gentrification happening, especially with the redevelopment of the waterfront and its resonating effect on the rest of the community. You've got a pull for businesses. You've got a pull for different artisans coming in, manufacturing coming in, especially with Industry City developing now over the past couple of years. It's so desirable and it is more affordable than Manhattan. This is known globally now. This is a very small world when you think about it. Everything that we have here in the New York market and all the five boroughs, but specifically, I'm focusing specifically in Brooklyn, it's out there worldwide. So it's a global market. You have very well-to-do people who have invested in other properties in other countries and now are looking for a new venue, and they found their home here. Brooklyn is hot. If you own property in Brooklyn, hang on to it for a little while longer if you can, because prices are only going up. There's still some affordable properties, such as co-ops, for those who can't afford over $1 million, which is a good thing, too. But right now, basically, the bulk of it is that you're paying over $1 million for a number of the properties, especially even two-family properties now, even in Sunset Park. Almost everything's going over $1 million.
That's something that we have seen a lot in our recap episodes. And Bob is just joining us now. I'm going to turn over the mic to him, and just to get him caught up, we were just talking about Deborah had told us a little bit about herself and her company, Empire State Realty Group, and we were just kind of going into a little bit about her market report and how Brooklyn has become such a desired location for people outside of the U.S. to come in and purchase property. And with that, here's Bob Howe.
But we have the best person to look in her crystal ball at Debbie to tell us what the forecast for the end of 2015 is. Deborah, we all know that Brooklyn is hot, 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 and as you're pointing out, there's everything is a million and up.
Yes. Yes, it's flying. Yeah.
It's flying. So how is that affecting sellers? Because I know we have a tight inventory. Is it that sellers are waiting for the price to go a little higher before putting their house on the market? Or what's the psychology behind the tight inventory?
You know, that's a very intricate that's an intricate issue. There's some schools of thought that are saying, you know, people are waiting. They think it's going to go up, and everybody wants more for their property. So there are those who, if they don't need to sell right now, they're waiting for things to go up. There are some that, you know, if you start listening to what's going on out there in the market and the uncertainty with the interest rates, that also sort of affects the way people think. Some people are saying, well, you know, I've got this now. It might go up. But what can I afford outside? Where else am I going to go? What else can I do and buy? Can I handle it? So you've got it's like a two-edged sword. You've also got people who are deciding that, you know, maybe what I have is good and I may not find something better elsewhere. There are also the factors of the economy where sometimes you'll have a situation where someone owns a home, but they're not able to really move forward. Perhaps their income is not the same. They still can maintain their home, but they're not necessarily able to move forward. You've got a number of factors going on. You've got wealthy getting a bit wealthier. You've got some uncertainty in the middle stream, and then you've got those that are still struggling. Right now, what's driving our market is the international buyer. They're the ones with the cash to come in. We don't see as much of a movement, possibly because relative to the number of buyers there are, the number of properties are less. There are times when we've had basically the same number of properties but not enough buyers because people couldn't even afford. So there's sort of a lot going on here. You can't put your finger on one thing or the other. It's several different aspects that are happening right now.
As you point out, it's very complex. Could be a double-edged sword situation. If I sell my million-dollar house, I have to buy a $1 million house, and have I really improved my situation in life? Or if I want to buy a 1.5, and have I now jumped back into the fire of having to, you know, take on extra debt and
exactly,
you know, all the vagaries of the economy. Let's talk about the purchaser side. I guess the purchaser. I guess there are some things going on there. Do they jump in now when it's 1 rather than 1.2? do they jump in now when it's 3.5 interest rates rather than 5.5?
Yeah.
Talk about the psychology on the buyer side.
Well, on the buyer side now, you've got a number of things happening. As you have mentioned already, there's a lower inventory, so there's competition. You have a lot of buyers that are trying to pull their money, for instance, out of China. So for a while, that wasn't so difficult. Now they're putting the brakes on that a bit. It's a little more difficult, but they're still bringing it over. They're competing for properties. I am basically seeing, for instance, a property I just sold. We are waiting to close on it, asking $1.28 million, and we've got $1.22 million for this property with $840,000 cash down.
Wow.
One aspect of this issue, one problem that happened, the mortgage is rather small, but the buyer was actually refused. Why? Because of certain aspects of the property. A simple thing, such as a commercial space not being used to its fullest potential, or the property having been owner-occupied, now will be vacant. The banks are looking through a microscope, and every little detail, one small detail, could put the kibosh right on the deal. Of course, they did go to another bank, and they did get their mortgage. We will close the deal. And an interesting thing, the appraisal came in at around 840. They're being extremely conservative. They're looking for reasons not to lend. And that's why when you have a buyer with that much cash, it's gold, and you have so many of them competing. The prices are driven higher because you've got that competition because the inventory is lower. You do have the bank to deal with, but still, there's always a way to get it done. If one avenue doesn't work, we don't stop. We keep looking till we find. But that's basically what's happening with this. The buyers have a lot to contend with.
Yeah, the banks are, they do have the microscope going on now. They're looking at every aspect of everything from financial through structural. And they're being very, very, very cautious. What is the buyer's mentality with regard to interest rates? Jump in now because it's going to go up, or there's still a little time
absolutely.
Before it's going to go up?
Buyers know that the interest rates are low. They hear what we hear. They understand the uncertainty. There's constant talk about possibly raising it. Then they go back on their word. Then they discuss it again. That uncertainty is an incentive for people. They want to get in when they can get a good deal. The lower the interest rate, you know, of course, the more competition, the more the desire for the loan. If you're going to wait for the point to go up, your chances of qualifying do decrease. Now is a hot time to get in there. If you are looking to buy, a strong recommendation is get in while you can. When the interest rates go up, of course, it's a no-brainer. It gets more difficult. If you can buy something now in these upcoming areas, especially such as Sunset Park, there are still some areas which are affordable, even though some are soaring. There are still some areas where you can get in there, buy something. If you've got the capital to renovate, you can turn it into a million-plus property. So now is the time to do it with the low interest rates. It will possibly get more difficult if they raise the rates. Of course, that goes without saying. I think there is a big push. And there's a lot of competition for each property. We have a lot of people vying for each property, especially the mixed-use properties.
And let's talk about Sunset Park for a second. That's interesting. Who's buying in there? Where are these people coming? There are theories that, yes, it is still a bit of an Asian market.
Yes.
But I'm also hearing that people are buying coming out of the Williamsburgs and the Greenpoints
mm-hmm.
that have made their money there, or find that, you know, they could sell their
yes.
property and buy a house. They could sell an apartment in those areas and buy a
yes.
house in Sunset Park or Bay Ridge. What's going on with that area?
That is absolutely true. You can get at one time you could buy a condo for say $600,000. Now the price for that condo, it's worth about between 8 and 9. That's in Williamsburg. Depending, say it's a one-bedroom condo. If you use that money now, you can put that money into, say, a two-family house with a small loan. there are properties now in Williamsburg which are condos selling for $1 million. Of course, you could buy a two-family property here for approximately that, slightly higher, maybe 1.1, 1.2. But it's worth more to have a two-family property, which is an income-producing property, than to have a one- or two-bedroom condo itself. Of course, Williamsburg is very desirable, but because of its proximity to Manhattan, because of its easy commute, and it's such a diverse group of people that live there, it's like a little mini Manhattan, or a little like a miniature village. And now people are saying, well, you know, for this kind of money, now the prices have gone up, I can actually move forward and invest and get more for my money. And they are doing exactly that. There are people that at one point were getting priced out of the upper areas, such as Prospect Heights, Prospect Park, downtown Brooklyn, Cobble Hill, where it was too expensive there. People moved here when it was less expensive. Now, whatever they're in, the price is going higher. They've made money on their investment. And if you were renting here now it's getting tougher to stay. It's actually getting tougher to stay in Sunset Park. People are getting priced out of their apartments. That's how fast this is happening. So it's a little bit of a two-edged sword.
Priced out rental-wise?
Priced out rental-wise. Even in, for instance, in the development in Industry City, there were a number of artists that lost their lofts because they couldn't afford the rent. Yet new artisans came in. These are larger groups, and they came in and took over some space. There's so much going on. There's about 6 million square feet of space still being developed. And you will see phenomenal trends forward when this waterfront develops, just like the Navy Yard. When this starts to fully develop and blossom, and it already has happened, it's going to really pick the value up tremendously, more so than it is now. And there are people that are having a hard paying the rent here in Sunset. It used to be the affordable area. It's not so affordable anymore.
Right.
It really has transformed.
Development that's going on with Industry City, where they're bringing in some Williamsburg type of activities, and you have some big box stores now going into a floor of Industry City. In you know, the typical box store mentality was, let's buy an empty lot, develop it, put in a big box, and let's do retail out of it. Now they're seeing Industry City as they can go in on the second, third, and fourth floors of these properties and do their retail up there. They don't need a box store anymore. So that,
exactly,
I think, as you point out, is really going to drive things.
It has already begun. There's such a move towards Industry City. They're attracting so much, and they're still developing. You haven't seen even half of it yet. There's so much more to come. So I'm looking forward to that. I know that the prices are going to go skyrocketing. You will see further development. The entire community benefits from it. You do have, of course, the forces that are saying, wait, stop, let's not do this too much. People are losing their rental spaces. They are actually, some people are leaving, going out to Pennsylvania because they can't afford here anymore. So it's like a two-edged sword. It's a wonderful thing, but it does also put a strain on the community in other ways. But it's great for the owners. It's great for those who are selling.
So, Deborah, since we're almost at the end of our show, and being that it's Halloween Eve, if that's such a word,
mm-hmm.
Is that Jason? Are we the Eve Halloween?
Halloween Eve.
Tell us, have you ever represented anybody who had a haunted property?
Well, not a haunted one, but a rather humorous story did happen, and this is one I was directly involved in. We sold a property not far from actually from where I live. It was someone that I knew well. They sold to Asian buyers, and upon the inspection down in the basement, there's this large space of solid rock, what we were told was solid rock. The buyer looked at that and said, how do I know that's filled with rock? How do I know what's in there? My relative bought something in Staten Island, and a dead body was found in the house when they renovated. So once we heard that, we said, oh, Lord, don't worry. There's no dead body in here. They insisted that the floor had to be opened above this in the first level in order to drop down spotlights to make sure that there are no dead bodies buried down there. We were there till after 11 p.m. in the evening, making sure there were no dead bodies in the building. And finally, everyone was convinced. It was a rather humorous situation. It was a little difficult to explain to the owner, but, you know, it was just one of those strange things that you'd never believe that someone would think it. It was obvious to us that it had to be solid rock, solid stone, yes, that the house was built around. So something like that was kind of funny. No haunted houses, not yet.
Well, Debbie, but that was a darn good Halloween real estate story that will stick in my mind for some time. I represent a lot of people, never dead bodies, though, or
yeah,
thoughts of dead bodies anywhere around, but that is a good story. So, Deborah, remind our listeners, if they have any further follow-up or want further advice from you, where are they going to find you? Either in your office or online,
oh, sure,
or by phone?
Oh, by phone. I love the personal approach. They can give me a call. My direct line is 646-932-4442. And it's always a pleasure to assist in any way I can. And thank you, Bob. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, we love having you on. You were a very good guest and very educated and educated our listeners and very informed as to the state of Brooklyn real estate, and that's why we had you on.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes. Well, this ends our radio program for this evening. We want to thank Deborah Emma of the Empire State Realty Group for sharing her expertise on the state of Brooklyn real estate, what's going on with inventory, interest rates, buyers, neighborhoods, what's coming up, what's hot and what's not in Brooklyn, for sharing her insights with us. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I'm your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.